This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Let us be bread blessed by the Lord, broken and shared, life for the world. Let us be wine, love freely poured. Let us be one in the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. And any children that would like to join Miss D for sermon time, please feel free to do so. Good morning. As Episcopalians, there is nothing more enjoyable for us than a great party. It's been said that if you ever come into a situation where there are at least gathered four Episcopalians, you will find a fifth. Now, we know that parties can differ in style. On one hand, we may have what we call the Bacchanalian party of the fraternity keg party, impromptuly put together. On the other hand, we may go to the other extreme with the elegant dinner party with the candlelight, the silver, the crystal, the flowers, and even the servers with white gloves. But this morning, it is not the details about a party that I would like us to focus on. Rather, I would like you to contemplate this. What does a party say about the people who give them? What does the party say about the host and hostess? It's a totally interesting perspective on parties. Now, what parties say about people who host them today is exactly what it said back in ancient times. It's no different. In fact, this brings us to the reading we have this morning, specifically from Matthew's chapter 14. Again, parties reveal a lot about the people who give them. It applies to this wilderness picnic that is hosted by Jesus for thousands of people, as well as the other party that stands in contrast to it, which we do not read this morning, which are in the verses just before this reading in chapter 14. It is the birthday bash thrown by King Herod. Now, I don't think it is by coincidence that Matthew carries these stories of these two parties back to back. First, Herod's birthday bash, and then immediately following, the supper that is thrown in the middle of nowhere, courtesy of Jesus. You can tell a lot about people by the kind of parties they give. Now, it may be a little confusing for us as to understanding who is this Herod, because there's so many Herods mentioned in the New Testament, and they are all related. And the one we are referring to here is Herod Antipas. And Herod Antipas is known historically as the one who built the city of Tiberias in the Holy Land, named after Caesar Tiberius, the Holy Roman Emperor, or Caesar. Likewise, during that time, the Sea of Galilee was also called the Sea of Tiberias to honor the Roman emperor. But that is not what Scripture remembers Herod Antipas for. What he's remembered for is what happened at that birthday bash. Well, to make a long story short, what occurs is that King Herod is enamored by his brother Philip's wife. He divorces so that he may marry her. Of course, she had to divorce also. So Herodias and Herod are now a couple. And John the Baptist protests this illicit relationship. And because of the protests of John the Baptist, he's thrown into jail. At least Herod knows I can keep him here and keep him quiet. I really prefer to do away with him, but I know that if I do that, I will have a riot, I will have a rebellion among the Jewish people, and I can't afford that. So at least here in jail, I can control. And I know that I can keep him from speaking out as he has. Well, let's get back to the party. During that party, a floor show takes place provided by Salome, Herodias' daughter. And obviously, Herod was quite impressed with her talent and her abilities, but the fact that just offering some compliments or giving her a standing ovation wasn't enough. And so in his kingly attitude, as if he was living a fairy tale, he throws out to her saying, "You may have whatever you wish," without thinking what he was saying. Picture it, if you would. She's not answering immediately. Instead, she goes over to Mama, to Herodias. Now, Herodias cannot stand what John the Baptist has done, and she wants revenge. So, she whispers into her daughter's ear. And so, her daughter now, in her little skimpy outfit, prances across the floor, back in front of King Herod, and with a strange blend of arrogance and innocence, she demands exactly what her mother wishes. And what she demands is something that Herod is shocked by. He didn't think, but he's not going to give in to these feelings. He's going to support the rash promise he made. And so within minutes, a soldier returns from the dungeon with a silver platter, with the head of John the Baptist still wet with blood. And rather than being sickened by this experience, she takes that platter and goes over to her mother and presents it to her, just like a schoolgirl giving a painting or crayon drawing to her mom. Indeed, you can tell a lot about people by the kind of parties they give. Herod may know of how to build a city, but he didn't know how to build life. And this birthday bash turns into an event that is filled with anger and cowardice and lust and rash words, hatred, and yes, murder, to name only a few vices that were prevalent in that room. All of these vices ended in the shameful death of God's prophet, John the Baptist, as well as poisoning the emotions and the spirit of those people who experienced that violence. What was it like to attend that party? According to Mark's gospel, the people that were there were Herod's courtiers, officers, and officials from Galilee. It was not a gathering of intimate friends and acquaintances to celebrate a birthday. It was a state affair. It was a command performance. It probably was an event that was filled with little love and care and compassion for one another. A room filled with power and jealousies and hatred. That in itself would be almost intolerable for us to put up with for an hour. And I'm sure that everyone that was present that day had embedded into their mind and their spirit that image of this platter with the head of John the Baptist that was paraded about as if it were a treasured delicacy or a trophy. You can tell a lot about people by the kind of parties they give. Thank God nowadays we don't reward dancing girls with the heads of prophets. But I cannot help but believe that the vices that went and were prevalent in that room are still things that take place today. It seems that we do have little patience, that we allow and give permission to so much violence that takes place, even in the most opulent of parties. We know how prevalent it is today. But let's remove ourselves from the palace walls of Herod, and let us now go out into that open space to where this other party has taken place. Let us go to this party that is different and far better. It begins with Jesus getting into a boat to go off to a deserted place. The reason for that is Jesus wants time to grieve and to pray because of the death of his cousin John the Baptist. But unfortunately, a crowd knows where he has gone, and they come and they gather by the hundreds. And what you note is that Jesus is no longer concerned about himself, that he puts his need aside and he tends to these people, healing them all day long, hundreds of people. It's a whole day affair. And as the sun begins to set, suddenly the disciples come to him and say, "Jesus, we're concerned. We really need to send these people away so they can go into the town and get some food for themselves and perhaps even find lodging for the evening." But Jesus does not listen to their logic. Instead, he challenges them. "They need not go away," says Jesus. You provide them with something to eat." But immediately they have an excuse. "Well, Jesus, all we have are 2 fish and 5 loaves. This is only enough to feed a family of 4 for the day." And so now Jesus decides to give an impromptu party. Right there and then, a huge picnic. And so he invites the people to sit down in the grass. And they gather in their family units, hundreds of people, thousands as far as the eye can see. And he takes those 2 fish and those 5 loaves of flat bread, and he raises them to heaven, blesses them, offers thanks, breaks them, and gives that bread to those disciples and asks that they go out and feed the people. And we all know the rest of the story, do we not? They are satisfied. They are fulfilled. The party is a splendid success. Only one problem exists, however. The problem is, what are we going to do with all the leftovers? You can tell a lot about people by the kind of parties they give. Perhaps we learn too much about this pathetic King Herod. But what is it that we learn about Jesus? First and foremost, I believe we discover that Jesus has compassion for the people. He sees their needs. He is moved by their needs. And he reaches out to help them. Jesus knows their needs. He knows that something can be done to help people who are troubled. And he knows that this little bit of food, 2 fish, 5 loaves, enough for a family of 4 for the day, is a gift from God. And that this gift is enough to meet the need that are present. The party that Herod threw was a command performance, a product of fear, a product of power and prestige as one desires to be in control. His birthday bash supposedly celebrated life, but instead it was a situation that brought the death of a prophet of God. It was an event that compromised the reputation of a king, and it was an event that poisoned the hearts and minds of those who were there to witness. But the party that Jesus gives is one that was motivated by compassion, based on knowing and responding to human needs. People came and were hungry, and people were able to leave fulfilled and satisfied. They came to realize there is a reason to believe in this God of our ancestors, who is still among us, who still cares for us, who knows that we need his love and his guidance and his light. And so these people are renewed to live. And so on one hand, we have that wilderness picnic. On the other hand, the beer bash by Herod. Both events are still prevalent today and are universal events. And we are continually being invited to these parties. The party that Herod finds is so easy for us to find because it is the way of the world. It is there as bold as the nose on our face. But the party that Jesus throws is a little harder to locate because it occurs in those out-of-way places, in those places where we do not expect to find it. Despite the fact that Herod wears a crown, it is proven that he's a slave to the ways of the world. And Jesus, who wears no crown, proves to be the true King of life. Like the new Moses that is portrayed in the Gospel of Matthew, he is able to come to the people and take them from the bondage of their life and their situation and bring them to true freedom and to joy and to life. And so the picnic thrown by Jesus indeed may seem remote for us. But it is prevalent. It is available to us on a regular basis. It is here today as we gather. The one who celebrated in the midst of a field in an obscure place to bring life is present to bring us that same life. You can tell a lot about people by the kind of parties they give. And so today, I ask you, which party do you wish to attend? A meal is prepared for you here. It is a source of life. It is more than just a celebration of life, a Eucharist. It is life itself because Christ, who is true life, is here to become one with us, that we may be transformed and that we may be life for others. As I began, I close. Let us be bread, blessed by the Lord, broken and shared, life for the world. Let us be wine, love freely poured. Let us be one in the Lord. Amen.